Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, second hour of the show. That means one in the rear view, two to go, and we're happy to have you along for the ride. It's Barry in OKC. Nick and I are here in the studio, and we're hoping that we're helping you get through your Thursday. We were talking about a lot of things, baseball, Astros, Bregman, Twitter, and a funny thing on the Twitterverse was a little spat last night. Barry, I'm not sure if you caught it or not, but two NBA players decided to mix it up a little bit on Twitter. And I got to tell you, for all of the people that like to hate on KD, Kevin Durant, I kind of side with KD on this one. So the story goes that CJ McCollum, who's very outspoken, he wants to be a broadcaster when he's done. He basically is very critical. He's been critical of Kevin Durant joining the Warriors. He's been very, like I said, opinionated on Twitter. But Kevin Durant does his podcast earlier in the week, does him a solid, does him a favor. They talk about a whole bunch of things, and obviously McCollum promotes it and everything like that. And then a guy from Barstool tweets McCollum last night and says, "Hey, CJ, permission to start using the B word again for KD?" To which McCollum responds, "I think the B word is harsh and it shouldn't be used. He knows that decision was soft, but I respect it. It's like getting jumped with your brothers by a gang you should have beaten up, then joining the gang that jumped you and your brothers 2 months later and forgetting about your bros." And Durant wasn't taken too kindly to that, as he said, "So, I would get into a gang fight, lose, plot on my brother for 2 months in our home, and then go get the gang we lost to and beat him up? You think that low of me, CJ? I just did your effing podcast. Snakes in the grass, boy, I tell you."
I feel like he might have gotten a little sensitive. I understand where CJ, because CJ came back and said, whoa, there's no feud. Y'all have to chill. It was simply an analogy. I'm done speaking on KD and the Warriors. It's childish of me to do so, and soft, LOL. I've always said that what I feel, but we all know I've never been a snake, but back to the grind. I kind of get what he was doing. It was almost one of those things where you say something nasty and then, you know how sometimes people be like, "Well, I was just joking." No, you really weren't. I mean, you said what you meant. You tried to, but you did it in a way that you could back away from it if you caught some heat for it, which is exactly what happened. I just would rather have stood by it, but what he said made sense. I mean, was he that far off base? You got beat up by the Warriors, so you left to go join the Warriors. What he said was kind of accurate, just an analogy.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The follow-up to all this is that Mark Spears caught up with Durant and asked him about LeBron joining the Lakers. And, of course, he was all for it. Of course, he made this long, drawn-out response of how great the whole thing is and how great it is for LeBron. And, you know, when he writes his book someday, it's just another great chapter. And, you know, he went back and righted the ship in Cleveland, and now he's on to other things. Of course it is, because this all gets back to the very crux of this whole thing for Kevin Durant. And that is, he liked being everybody's quiet, favorite, doesn't do anything wrong, superstar guy, just hanging and playing in OKC. And when he did this, he changed his image, maybe forever. And screwed with a whole bunch of people that were on his side before that now aren't too big of fans of his. And so he's always sensitive about that.
And maybe rightfully so. I mean, if you've been the good kid all along and now you're the bad guy, that can be tough for some people to adjust to. They're used to being liked and held in high regard, and that's not the way anymore. I don't know if this bad boy image is something he's embracing. It feels like it is a little bit. But you have to know what you may look at LeBron. Look, well, that's what's weird is LeBron seems to have handled the same accusations and same criticisms completely different than KD is. LeBron doesn't really lash out like KD has been lashing out. So it's kind of weird. Of course, LeBron also wasn't getting called out by a lot of people in the NBA like KD is. So it's a little bit different dynamic.
But he was when he made the announcement. But I think he kind of understood, and he actually took the high road to say, okay, I admit it. Probably if I had it to do all over again, I might not have done the announcement.
Yeah, and he took heat for the announcement, but he took heat for you know, being a front runner and getting that kind of team together. Not one, not two, not like he knew what he was doing, but he didn't catch the kind of heat, I feel like, or catch the kind of shade that KD is getting thrown his way. But I do think, though, he did have one valid point, and that was, dude, I just did your podcast. And they talked about this on the podcast, apparently, but not in the way that CJ McCollum came out and talked about it later. But he brought it up, and apparently he was saying, like, why did you go do that? You didn't have to do that. That wasn't cool. And they had that discussion, apparently, for at least the article that I read said they did. And then it came up again when somebody asked if they could start calling Kevin Durant a bitch, which I don't think necessarily just because you went and joined, you're a front runner. That doesn't make you soft. It just makes you a front runner.
Yeah. I mean, look, and again, I think that just to add to that, the one thing I would say is the league was hoping and fans of the league were hoping this was the anomaly. This was the one time. This was LeBron doing one thing and no one else was ever going to consider doing it. Now, and the way people are talking, this is the new, and even Durant said, basically, when he was talking to Spears, this is what the new NBA is. Carmelo said the same thing when talking about how he got out of Atlanta and it was a buyout. He's like, this is the new ways of the NBA. You know, guys are looking to team up with their buddies and make super teams. And teams on the flip side, if things aren't working out and everybody says your cap's trapped, well, they can just work on a buyout, you know, get you off their books and move on. And that's the new way of the NBA. But I think that from a basketball fan's perspective, they're like, that's just LeBron doing it. No one else will ever consider it. When KD did it, it obviously did not sit well with all the fans of NBA basketball.
Nope. Didn't like it. And I mean, oh, well.
So, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how much hate Cousins is going to get, if he gets any.
See, I think it's now, instead of a precedence, it's the norm. So because it's the norm, I don't think Boogie's going to catch any heat. And it wasn't for a max-type deal. He took, you know, basically $5 million. He took the basement price, and he's banking on himself for 1 year. And I honestly don't expect him to be in Golden State after this year. I think he's kind of flipping the script from those veteran players on the downside that try and win a ring. I think because he's coming off an injury, he signs for 1 year with Golden State, tries to win that ring, and then next year you see him with the Lakers or somebody else where he expects to get the kind of money that he thought he was worth all along.
Well, that's the same thing. I mean, going to the Lakers, going to join LeBron, isn't that kind of front running too?
When you've played in Sacramento, almost your entire career. I mean,
But I mean, Carmelo joining the Rockets, isn't that kind of front running? I mean, none of these cats are catching this heat like Durant is, and I get it. Durant is one of the two or three best players in the NBA, and that's why he went and joined the best team in the NBA. But still, I mean, you could make the case for a lot of these cats.
Also, because he became the next guy. Like I said, after LeBron did it, everybody's like, well, that's just LeBron did it. But no one, the assumption was no one else is going to do it. They're not going to start doing these super teams. And it wasn't even that big of a discussion that it was a super team. It's just they were shocked he did it. Durant, like you said, when you're a top three player, you're going to get attention anyway. But when you are the next guy to do exactly what LeBron did, and now you are setting precedents as saying this is what's going to happen, and because he was such the darling of the league, playing in a small market and doing what he was doing quietly and, you know, and shunning away from attention, and all of a sudden he did all that, that's where all that hate and negativity came from. And yet they were winning. I mean, you look at from a Boogie perspective, if you played in Sacramento your whole career, or even Melo, I mean, Melo's, it's, we'll see how it works out. But Melo's, you know, obviously he didn't ask to be bought out. So now he can go wherever he wants, and he's still going to get his money too. So the money's not even a factor. But from Boogie's perspective, the only reason why I understand it is because he's never even experienced the playoffs. LeBron at least had the Cavs winning when he left, and then when he came back, when he won the he came back and won the title for him. But when he left, the Cavs were expected to be that team in the East.
Okay.
I mean, Boogie left either New Orleans or Sacramento, no one thought that they were any team to be reckoned with, like for a title.
No, but going to Golden State for the veteran minimum for 1 year is basically just saying, I'm just doing this to play on the best team and get a ring. That's
no doubt.
That's all I'm doing. Which is no different than what Durant did, just for a longer period of time on the contract. And it's no different than what Carmelo's going to do with the Rockets. So, I don't know. But I get why Durant's catching a little bit of the heat. Some of these other cats deserve it.
There you go. All right, we'll continue.
You make valid points.
We point counterpoint, but we'll get it done at the end of the day. If you guys have opinions you want to join in on, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, Usual Suspects, Thursday. Nick, Barry, Joel with you till 4. Blitz will take you home till 7. Reminder that at 3, we'll simulcast with SportsMap 94.1. Barry, this is a little shocking to me. Before we move on, excuse me, to anything else, Allison Footer, amongst others, reporting that now the Astros, now that they've secured their catcher / backup catcher position, that they now will be looking to address left field because Kyle Tucker isn't hitting the ball, because Derek Fisher's MIA, that there are names out there that the Astros would entertain looking at, some of them being Curtis Granderson in Toronto, Adam Jones we mentioned in Baltimore,
yep,
Shin-Soo Chu in Texas, in Arlington, Avisail Garcia, Joey Batts, Nick Castellanos, Leonis Martin, Mark Trumbo, Carlos Gomez, Cameron Maben, and Domingo Santana.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's going to depend on cost. I mean, when you look at what they did last year, it's not going to be a huge splash unless it is an Adam Jones type guy, and he won't be in left field. Obviously, he'll probably play center field.
Mm-hmm.
You move Springer to right and move Reddick over to left field, which solves the problem in a roundabout way. So don't always feel like that they have to get a left fielder. They just have to get an outfielder, and they can move Reddick and Springer around. If they get a center fielder, if they get a right fielder, I think it just depends on the cost at this point. I know for a fact that they're not going to move Whitley. They're not going to move Tucker. But I think it just depends on how much they feel the need to go out and spin from the farm and the depth that they have in that farm system. But last year, some of the moves they made with Tyler Clippard and Cameron Maben, they weren't huge moves.
Right.
They were what they thought at the time was going to be quality depth. It really wasn't. It ended up not being that necessarily. Maben got off to a decent start.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, lightning in a bottle early with Maben. He helped him out early.
Yeah, and he could steal a base. I think he scored a run or two in the playoffs for him and did a few things. I think he had a couple of decent catches out there. Or no, was it the opposite?
Well, I was going to say, he did early, but then everybody's going to remember the one that he didn't really go after.
Loafed. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 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 But I don't know. I it'll be interesting to see. I still think that maybe the fact of the matter is that they just, and I don't want to say they waited too long, but they just didn't feel like any of the moves for bullpen help was worth the price. So now they just shift their focus. And that's probably what happened is they were low, you know, they got outbid and because they were unwilling to bid what it took to get some of these names that were on the free agent market as closers. So now they shift their focus to, well, all right, let's add another bat. You got to do something because the Yankees are going for it. Obviously, the Yankees are all in this year, and rightfully so. I mean, they have the squad and the makeup to be that. The Indians have gotten better. The Red Sox are making moves. The Astros are really the only team that hasn't made a significant splash of the teams contending in the AL. So it might be time getting an Adam Jones. Remember, last year, it wasn't necessarily even about adding the name for the fans. It was about that clubhouse, which kind of shocked me a little bit, as I thought that clubhouse would have been okay with not making moves, but they proved otherwise. Dallas Keuchel came out and said, "Hey, man, show us you care. We're invested.
Yeah.
Go out and do something and help us." And I think Jeff Luhnow maybe learned something from that, and so he's like, "All right, I guess I'm going to have to make a splash." So some of those names you mentioned, I would be fine with him coming here, starting with Adam Jones.
No doubt. I mean, again, and
Chu. Sin Chu. Yeah, or how the hell you say
Sin
it?
Sin Chu. He's not bad. I mean, look, I love Adam Jones because defensively he's fantastic because he's a bat. He's reliable. He's a veteran. All those things. But, you know, I haven't looked at his contract or anything. I'm assuming he's free at the end of the year or close to it, or because otherwise I don't see the Astros with their contracts coming up that they're going to want to spend a whole ton of money on this. But you know, that's one of the equations. And the other one is I just keep going back to the fact that I just really want them to address at least one arm in the bullpen as well.
Jones would be a rental. So he's
so
a
he
free
is free at the end of the year. Okay.
Yeah. And Shin-Soo Chu would be a 2-year investment at $21 million a year. That's a lot of money.
Boy.
For yeah, a dude I would that's think probably.
I would think Orioles have to pick up some of that on the backside.
He's with the Rangers, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry about Adam Jones.
Yeah, and also too. I mean, I know he plays a little, but he's mainly a DH. So I don't know if he solves your left field problem unless you plan on putting Gattis out there in left field or something like that. So,
God help you if you are.
yeah. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, that is a bit of a surprise that they're looking at left field, but they got to do something. Gonna have to make a. I have to make a splash, I feel like.
Yeah.
By the way, remember last time I was here, they had drums in this studio thing, and you guys wanted me to play it?
Vaguely.
But I said no because I didn't know how. Well, that's not the case anymore. I mean,
I don't know about all that.
Jam in here for a minute.
I don't know if we... Huh? You've had the drum set for like 2 weeks. How do you know how to play drums?
YouTube, baby. YouTube.
Yeah, I have YouTube teaching me lessons, Nick.
I think after a day of gardening talk, we don't need the drums in the same week.
I agree.
All right. Well, you guys are absolutely no fun. And I want you to know that listeners still are sending gardening questions to the text lines and on Twitter. So both of you can suck it.
Okay? When they start clamoring for your drum skills, we'll have you play.
Both of us are annoyed to know
it. I didn't do it on air. I just said I may have to jam a little bit.
Oh, you implied it would be on air.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to hear the...
No, we did it.
We've already expressed that vote now. No.
Man, you guys are just the quintessence. You guys, I feel like Kevin Durant right now. Y'all are CJ McCollum, just hating ass haters. Man.
I'm just saying.
Snakes in the grass, boy, I tell you.
Okay, KD. Easy now. So you excited that NFL camps are opening up? Texans had their first practice this morning at the Greenbrier. Everybody present, accounted, and healthy for opening practice, including Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt.
Yeah, Watson fully cleared and will not be restricted during training camp, according to Brian Gaines. So that is good news.
No doubt.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm ready for some football. I'm fully invested in baseball at the moment, but I'm always excited for football. So, most people are.
I'm not like completely football head like all these people out there that like couldn't, like thought nothing else was going on until camp started. But definitely good to know that football's on the horizon and that, you know, college is right there coming after that, and we'll be full-blown with lots of stuff to talk about on the football front, too. But good to see from a Texans perspective, more than anything else. I mean, those were the names that everybody's concerned with. The fact that they're good to go means that you've got all the hope in the world because of the fact that, you know, those are your key players. JJ without a brace on, and I know, really no contact yet, but JJ looked jacked up when he got off the bus last night. If I don't know if you saw any of the footage of it, and maybe Nick, you might have saw it. But then on the practice field today, no brace or anything on the leg, so either leg. So hopefully that's a good sign.
It's a really good sign, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the pictures, so I don't know. But yeah, if he's all in shape, that's even better. I know him and Watson were doing their rehab together, which is also good. You want to see Watson kind of get some of that leadership. And some of those, you know, maybe that rubs off on him a little bit because it's going to be his team soon. It's not yet, but it's going to be very soon.
I'm just glad Deshaun's not lifting with JJ because some of the pictures on Twitter and, of course, even in local TV, the women reporting the story is going a little far, saying JJ looked like the Incredible Hulk and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But he's pretty rocked up. I mean, I was surprised because normally he's a thick dude, but I didn't see him being real cut up and everything like that. He looks like he's, obviously a lot relies on just how the leg responds, but overall he's in outstanding shape. So that's a good sign for the Texans. Now, the other question that was pressed with Brian Gain was, are you going to sign Clowney before the season starts, during the season, whatever? He says, once the regular season starts, there will be no conversations. He wants them to focus on the year. So it's between now and the start of the regular season that they are on the clock if they want to do something with Clowney.
Get it done.
Yeah, but you and I talked about it. At what price?
Yeah. Couple other news and notes. Wentz will not be placed on the PUP list to start training camp, so that's good news for Eagles fans. Andrew Luck likely will play in the first preseason game in 2 weeks, according to Frank Reich. He'll get an off day on Saturday. Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey, they said they're going to increase his workload, which he seems slight of build to me for that for the NFL.
He's a little guy.
25 to 30 touches per game, according to Ron Rivera. That seems a bit high for an undersized guy.
Yeah, he's a little guy. I mean, he's quick. Yeah. But, yeah, he's one of those guys that I thought would be more like who's the guy in Philadelphia that's going to retire at the end of the year? Sproles. Like Darren Sproles. Yeah. Like, he's shifty. Yeah. You can get him out of the backfield. But I don't see him toting the rock 25 to 30 times out of the backfield. That's for sure.
He's more like a scat back, which Nick has nothing to do with poop. So, please. Free agent Dez Bryant is an option for the Browns, according to GM John Dorsey.
Yeah.
That would be a little interesting.
I mean, go over there to get paid. But
well,
not,
they're saying he's an insurance policy for Gordon, but you already have Gordon. Do you want Dez in that locker room too?
Good Lord. Ugh. Careful what you wish for, Browns fan.
No doubt. Earl Thomas saying... By the way, Earl Thomas saying he's going to hold out in Seattle. He wants a new deal. Seahawks says, unless you're in camp, we don't talk no deals. So, interesting where that one will end up.
Yeah, that is another one. I don't know, man. With fire out in Seattle, I think. But
if you're any team in the NFL and you don't want Earl Thomas, you're an idiot.
Yep. I fully agree with you.
Yeah,
a couple of texts. Chris Householder, I need to hear some drums, Barry. Thanks, Chris. Play the drums coming back from break. They won't know it until it's too late. Also, you are creepily staring at the girl in the studio again, right? No, Justin, that was not here. That was in
Antonio or Dallas, one of the two.
No, it was Dallas where the chick was. Yeah, because I was there last time I was there. I saw her and it was awkward for me. She didn't even remember who I was, but it was awkward for me.
You should have let us know. We could have reminded her.
Yeah, I'm sure you. Yeah, and every listener would have had no problem embarrassing the crap out of me.
Yeah,
and by the way, I don't know who Steven Steptoe is on Twitter.
Okay.
But when the ESPN account tweeted out, "Hey, Usual Suspects start now. Go listen." He's like, "Why are y'all still talking taking up space talking about Carmelo?"
Yeah,
it's like Barkley all over again. 5-6 points tops. He'll never met. Like, bro, we haven't brought up Carmelo Anthony in days. What are you just like, do you just assume that's what we're talking about? Cuz you hadn't been listening if so.
I didn't see that yet, but I'm pretty much glad that I didn't. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I just told him. I said, we haven't mentioned him in a few days, bro. What are you talking about?
Jeez.
Stop hating Mr. Steptoe.
Steptoe sounds like he's been playing soccer with Nick. We got to go. We got to the halfway point of the show. Don't go anywhere. Second half in mere minutes. Usual Suspects, ESPN
97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's a Thursday. Barry in OKC today and tomorrow. Nick and I here at the headquarters. Want to remind you, as we always do, we try to give back to you, the listeners, because we appreciate you being suspects of the show. Therefore, we've got a giveaway for you right now. If you are out there and about and you are a hunter, you are out into the outdoors, we've got a deal for you. It is four tickets to the 2018 Hunters Extravaganza. It's the granddaddy of all Texas hunting shows. It's back where you can check out the latest equipment, technology, clothing, blinds, more. Friday, August 3rd through Sunday, August 5th at NRG Center. It's presented by Texas Trophy Hunters Association. Kids 12 and under get in free, so that makes it a family thing. Get your tickets and details at THA.com. But, as I mentioned, if you are caller number 12, right now, 713-780-3776, caller number 12, four tickets, Hunters Extravaganza tickets, and good luck.
Go get them.
That's where you go, pew, pew. Pew, pew.
I asked if I could 12. Play the drums, and the guy said no.
Caller 12, good luck. Who said no? You've never taken no for an answer in the past. Why start now?
I mean, they're letting me use their studio. I'm going to respect it. But this is a fancy-looking drum set.
How's the digs? I mean, is the studio overall better or worse than what we got here?
No, you're not going to get me in trouble.
I just thought I'd ask a question. How's the live stream cameras?
No, you're not gonna. No? I mean, it's pretty nice. It's there's a lot of studios here. It's Cumulus, so I think there's a lot of different stations out of this one location. So you walk by and there's like, I mean, you know, we have what, maybe six or seven studios? Is that right? One, two, three, four, five. We have five studios. There's probably like nine or ten here.
Okay.
But it's all pretty nice. But I'm in this big room where it looks like they do like photo shoots and have bands play and stuff.
Oh, okay. So. Like their mini concert room?
Yeah, basically. I
mean, that's where you should be, of course.
Is it?
Yeah,
is it?
Getting that VIP treatment with the big stage and all that. You can do dress rehearsals for the show this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to do that. Which, by the way, somebody said I should go after a show. I should go to Edna's and ask for a lunchbox. And I was like, I have no idea what that is. He said it's a tasty shot. I have a feeling that I'm being set up for something.
Hmm.
Go to Edna's and ask for a lunchbox. No.
I honestly thought the only thing open after 10 o'clock there was Toby Keith's.
Is that a place here?
Keith's? Toby Keith has these. Maybe they've all gone out of business. They actually had one. On the edge of West Oaks Mall or something for a while. But they're like these big restaurant. It's kind of like a TGI Fridays with a stage. It's kind of like almost like a country bar and restaurant. And they had a big one right there close to where we stayed when we went there with the Rockets.
Last night, they have an open mic before our show.
Okay.
And so it's a long night for the crowd. And there was these group of drunk chicks in the crowd, and they were yelling and being obnoxious and whatnot. And then afterwards, they were flirting with the other comics because I was ignoring them. I just went and sat at the other end. And this one chick was like really aggressive, and she kept grabbing one of the comics by the junk. And then she would go, "Oh my God, what am I doing? I'm married." And then she would grab his junk again and be like, "Wait a minute, I'm married." It was really weird. And then we're all leaving. I'm like, "Guys, I'm hungry. Let's go eat," because we all rode together. So they're like, "Cool, what do you want to do?" I was like, "Well, we can go to Denny's." I'm trying to get my Denny's in. We ended up at IHOP, and they were like, well, we're not going to Chili's because that's where the drunk girls are going. Of course, we end up at the IHOP, and then they show up at the IHOP, and I'm like, you know what? I can't do this. And so she starts she tried to sit in it, and I was like, no, you're not. This is weird. So then she starts taking off her top for no reason in the IHOP. And we're all like, the other two dudes are like, not stopping her. I'm like, oh, God, please don't do that. Like, these are not hot chicks, by the way.
I was just going to ask that because I know that the side boob popped out at the show at the bar here. But you've had a lot of wayward boobies lately.
Yeah, not hot chicks. I'm just like, why do these stupid ass people always seem to gravitate towards me? Why am I cursed with this ridiculousness?
I think you know the answer to that.
Yes, but it made me think about it when I saw that video from the McDonald's fight. Did you guys watch that?
Yeah, Nick mentioned it to me, and I hadn't seen it before, so I watched it during the break. Good Lord.
That was the best fight I've seen in a long time.
The best McDonald's fight, honestly, if you think about it, because there's always a fight in McDonald's.
I mean, dude. That was better than Ngannou Derek Lewis. That fight had way more action. Way more action than Ngannou Lewis. Like,
I had to regulate.
These chicks were this big girl. So this chick goes in and she's barefoot. And you know right away, if a chick goes into McDonald's barefoot, she's gonna fight somebody. Like, that's kind of a rule almost, that they're just gonna fight. So she goes in. And she whaps the manager in this white shirt with a tray. Now, this manager, if Andre the Giant's daughter got a job at McDonald's, this is what this lady looked like. She was probably had to have been 6'2".
I was gonna say she was on the Texans. I was gonna say she was on the Texans practice squad last year as an O-lineman.
she's
that big.
A big woman.
She's at least
and
3 bills.
She took a tray to the face like it was nothing. That this girl, the other girl's like maybe 5'6", 5'8". She waxed this big woman with this tray, and that lady walked through it like it was a mosquito bite and just ragdolled this little girl. I mean, ragdolling her. Boobie pops out. Shorts are up the butt. She's slinging her all over the McDonald's. And then another manager comes to break it up and pulls this girl that's just getting ragdolled by Andres the Giant. And then so the girl slaps this other manager, who then starts beating her ass. So not only did she get whooped by one McDonald's manager, she got her ass whooped by two, and they just kept passing her back and forth.
Yeah, because I think
they one would whoop on her and then the other. Oh. It was amazing. And
yeah, because I think the second one was just an employee trying to be like a goodwill ambassador to break the whole thing up. And then when the chick in the shorts and the tube top started whacking her, she was like, oh, hell no, you're going down again.
No, bitch, you're not going. And then, so she got her ass whooped like four times. Then she gets a chair to go after the big girl again. And the big girl just grabs the chair from her like, no. And then she was like, all right, I'm done. Man, she got her ass whooped. I mean, it was ugly. It was ugly.
Now, the question to me is, with all this and the way people get sensitive these days, does Andrea the Giant and the other worker, do they keep their jobs?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how.
She started it.
Really? You can't get into a physical fight.
Listen, at the listener party, if a listener came up to you and just whacked you with a tray and you defend yourself, are you going to be in trouble?
I think I might.
For defending yourself when you got hit?
I hate to break it, but with the way society is these days,
I think I might.
I think that there are companies out there that fully expect that no matter how many times your buttons are pushed, that you have to have the restraint.
No, you hit me with a tray, I'm gonna fight you. Like, there's just no, like, you're not expecting me to walk. And she threw like a milkshake at her too.
But
don't forget that.
The thing that was even funnier, I wish the video
milkshake. I'm whooping your ass.
I wish the video wouldn't have ended when it did, because at the very, very end, the barefoot chick goes back to her meal, and the manager's just like walking right by her, like, okay, we're good.
Hilarious.
Yeah, and here's the thing, ladies, and I won't single anybody out, but ladies, could y'all please start fighting with a bra on?
No, I don't. Like, I don't encourage that. You don't need it.
Yeah, no. We need to start fighting with bras on, ladies.
I mean, if Crystal Collins says that she loves your T-shirt because she doesn't have to wear one, then why do they have to wear them for anything else?
Yeah. Look, I'm trying to watch fight videos. I don't want to end up with my junk out. I'm trying to focus, okay? I don't need to see boobs while I'm watching fight videos.
I think one there are people that would disagree with you. I really do.
I mean, not that I mind it, but I'm trying to focus on one thing at a time here. I got ADD. I get distracted. I'm trying to watch the fight. Now I'm just staring at the boobies, and it's just not good.
All right, we got Lawrence went away. Lawrence, come on back if you want to get back in. I don't know if you had something to do. Whatever, Eric, we see you. We'll get to you as well. We'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HR and P listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 97.5. Suggestion is to keep your distance, because right now I'm
dangerous. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Flying by. Almost done with hour number two of the three-hour big show. Barry in OKC. Nick and I here in H-Town. Just some details. Ken Rosenthal reporting the White Sox sent the Brewers just over $1 million as part of the Soria trade. So for the Brewers to get a closer, they also got some help on the financial front because Soria was owed $3.25 million the rest of the way, plus $1 million buyout on a $10 million mutual option for next year. So he'll be taken care of one way or the other.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Wish I had that deal.
Man. Somebody sent me the recipe for a lunchbox at Edna's. 6 ounces of chilled orange juice, 6 ounces of chilled light beer, 1 ounce of amaretto. Garnish with a slice of orange.
Doesn't sound bad. Little foo-foo, but... Little foo-foo, but, you know. Sweet treats. Nick will indulge in that, right?
Sure, why not? I like foo-foo food, whatever.
Okay.
You like foo-foo coffee? Same thing.
I do not.
What's shoot out your order.
Venti Americano with 5 equals. Yeah. Soy milk.
I feel like you've shortened it.
I do too.
I feel like it used to be like. I feel like
you both are idiots, but and you're wrong. But I know what
it
I drink.
It takes you like 20 seconds to order that coffee.
Well, it doesn't take it anymore, does it? That's the same drink I've always gotten.
Okay. I'll try to remember what you used to say.
Okay. I look forward to that. Those always work out well, as I've experienced.
Which means I'll never circle back to it.
Yeah, exactly. Christina had asked us on Twitter, she's like, what about Joey Bats? And I responded, eh. And she said, I'm kind of surprised that you wouldn't want... I just feel like he would be this year's Carlos Beltran, to be honest with you.
I agree. And like, here's the thing.
Nothing really on the field or at the plate that he's going to contribute. He might be moral support and some veteran leadership, but... I mean, I think the dude is barely slugging 400, and he's past his prime, and he's old.
I mean, I agree with you from the simple fact that if he was being sought after and there was a market for him, he would have gotten that before the season. And then the first team that signed him, Atlanta, who wanted him to play third base, cut him loose pretty quickly, and then the Mets picked him up, and he's been okay. But I don't think he brings anything to the table that can be as good or better than what the Astros already have, like you said, except for the fact that he's a veteran with experience. If you need that in the locker room, and as we talk about all the time, that locker room is rock solid right now with Giles out there, out of the equation.
Yeah, you don't need any veteran leadership. I think guys like Altuve and McCann and guys like that have it. I mean, Uriel is a leader as well. Correa, when he comes back, they're just fine in the leadership department. I think Beltran served his purpose last year by doing that. So
yeah, for sure. All right, so let's get this out of the way. Eric wants to talk to me. We'll see what's going on with him today. Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
So Joel, you were talking about you having issues with your lights in front of your house earlier in segment one, and I had to jump into a meeting so I couldn't call. But the utility company in Sugar Land is lying to you, essentially, because the where they need to access to fix the problem in the neighbor's backyard is in a utility easement, which they have the undisputed right to access to do work. So the homeowner cannot restrict them and keep them out.
That's good to know, Eric. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's interesting, because I'm thinking to myself, and I said to Nick before the show, I said, how in the world can you put your public utility box on a private property and not be able to access it is beyond me, and they want me to go knock on the door, because that'll look good.
No, because, see, it's in the utility easement, and that's the same way at my house. I have a utility easement with service lines and stuff run back there. And they needed to come do some work in my backyard, and I wanted to know what their plans were. I said, I'll let you back there, but I want to know what you're doing first. Well, they just went and got the cops, and the cops made me open the backyard and let them in.
Wow. Because I had... I had the cops on my street one night talking about something. We were talking about something else, and he's like, God, it's dark here. And we talked about it. He's like, yeah, that's not acceptable. They got to fix that. And I was like, well, you've got a full utility belt of tools. Why don't you go tell somebody what to do and get it done for me? It's taking me 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, whoever you're talking to over there just doesn't want to go through the extra work. But they absolutely have the undisputed right to access their service lines and their boxes in people's backyards.
Yeah, that'd be center point. I'm not going to call out any names, but that'd be center point.
That's what I thought. I figured it would be like a situation where, yeah, there might be like a pole or a piece of their property and on somebody else's property, but it's elevated to the point where they can still access it. I didn't know it was like a restricted area that, you know, there's an undisputed right that they can have access to. I just assumed that, but I assumed that they designed it to where they can access it anyway without the help of anybody.
Yeah, that's why, like, you would have to have a survey done if you were going to put in a pool, so you wouldn't put the pool on top of the utility easement.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fences are in a utility easement, and if it requires work on the utilities, they have the right to tear down your fence to perform the required repairs as long as they rebuild it. But they can come in and tear out your plants, your fence, and all that if it's in the utility easement.
There you go. Eric, appreciate the call, man. That's good stuff. Yeah. Solid info once again from the suspects. I love it.
Yeah, I had to go through that when I had to have a swell built in my backyard to alleviate some flooding issues that we were having around my house and some of the neighbors, and it was a mess. But yeah, I learned all about easements. You have drainage easements, you have utility easements. There's all kinds of crap.
But talk about an absolute fabrication on Centerpoint's part, though.
Yeah, that was just BS. And I'm driving, and I'm like, you know what? First of all, I'm doing your dirty work for you, and I said, so you're saying that's the only option? And there was another long pause, and she was like, yeah. Get out of here, man. That's just, come on. And by the way, Barry, besides your easements, I also learned about that mud pud with the taxes and stuff when we move out to those neighborhoods too. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. When you're mud pud, you're swelling, and all the stuff you're dealing with and all the easements, it's tough.
Well, I used to be a real estate agent, so I got to learn all about that stuff
and the
legalities of it.
What did you do? Yeah. What did
you
do?
You had like 87 jobs.
I'm Jamaican. You remember that in Living Color skit where the Jamaicans, he's like, you got 9 jobs, boy, you're lazy. I used to love that. I don't know. I was my whole family was real estate agents. My mom was like a broker, and she's the head trainer for Keller Williams, or was for a long time.
She works out a lot?
Not that kind of train.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Somebody asked about the Astros, and what about Jose Abreu? The last I read about 5 days ago or so was that they were pulling him off the market. There were discussions with the Astros, yes, I believe, about Jose Abreu, but I think the White Sox have changed their mind, unless they've changed again. But the last I read was they were considering not moving him now. So,
well, because they're
a good addition.
They got a shot now, the White Sox. No.
Yeah,
probably just because they're going to try and build around him.
I mean, that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Otherwise, I can't explain it.
No, a couple more texts before we go. Toby Keith was at West Oaks Mall. You're right.
Okay.
There's that. Because the studio said Barry couldn't play the drums. I hope he whips out his junk and teabags it. the drum set like on Step Brothers. Tell Barry to go to Cattleman's for a steak and get the calf fries. I'm on a diet. I'm trying to get sexy for L.A. And then there was this one. Good to listen to y'all again for the first time for a few weeks. Just started a new job. I swear I'm being trained by Gilbert. Anyways, you're doing it wrong anyways. This old guy knows every female newscaster in the city. Also, he may or may not come over as slightly racist. Oh, nice.
Oh, sweet.
That's great.
Okay.
Good, sweet job you got going there.
Anyways, we're about to get joined by the other station that listens to John Granato in the morning anyways. So we'll be back with more. This is Gilbert, and we'll be back. Usual Suspects. Anyways.